You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Are listening to Right Side Radio, but you're not listening to Phil Williams today. This is Scott Buttram. I'm the publisher at the Trustful Tribune, sitting in for Phil, and I've done this a few times in the past. Boomer is on the other side of the controls, making sure I don't make a complete fool of myself and making sure you can hear me. And I don't know that I would do it without Boomer here riding shotgun to make sure everything works the right way. But I enjoy being with you guys. I enjoy the opportunity to step in for Phil from time to time. Just to tell you a little bit about me, because I didn't really introduce myself. We went right to guest when the show started at 2. We are a newspaper in Trustville, Alabama. We cover 9 cities in Jefferson and St. Clair counties. I think the best 9 cities in the area. I'm a little bit partial to those folks. We're there with them every day reporting on their news. We operate like an old-fashioned newspaper, and by that I mean when we report stories, we report the facts, we try to bring all the sides we can together and share that with our audience, and then we let our audience decide where they stand. I've come to find that we have pretty intelligent readers, and they don't really need the newspaper to tell them how to think. They just need the newspaper to share news with them. And so we go old school, and as a result, we've had a pretty tremendous growth period when a lot of much larger newspapers are going a different direction. And we think opinions are fine. Op-eds in newspapers, they've been there since newspapers started in America. I think those are important. We welcome those. But our opinion goes on our opinion page. On the news page, our opinion has no place there. So as a result, our readers have responded well to that over the last 15 years and have given us a lot of support. If you're looking for a newspaper and not happy with the one in your community, you can join us online anytime at TrustfulTribune.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott Buttram. Sometimes I'll say things that make you happy. Sometimes I'll say things that make you mad, but I'm always just going to say what's on my mind and probably should worry a little bit more about how it's taken, but I don't have a lot of time for that, so I generally don't do it. So far on the show today, we have had Kara Snyder, who is a Christian author from Cullman, Alabama. Karis has written 2-3 books, Anxiety Elephants for Tween Boys and Anxiety Elephants for Tween Girls, and a 31-day devotional, Anxiety Elephants for Adults, and just teaching Christians how to cope with anxiety in today's world. I think we all know that following the pandemic, we have seen more challenges in mental health, and sometimes it's affecting our own families and our own children. And these are very important issues, and there is a way to deal with these things. There is a Christian philosophy and principle to follow, and I urge you to look into Kara Snyder's books if you're having issues with like that in your family or with yourself. Just get a great Christian perspective on how to handle all of that. We were then joined by Paul DeMarco, former Senator, State Senator Paul DeMarco. He is the chairman of the Jefferson County Republican group. He does a great job. He is also the political writer for the Trustful Tribune. He has won awards from the Alabama Press Association for political columns that he has done in the Trustful Tribune. We're very proud to have Paul as a part of our newspaper, and I really enjoyed his insight in what's happening in Montgomery right now. And that's something we're going to talk about a little bit. Okay, we are a conservative state. By many measures, we are considered the most conservative state in America. And there's some pretty conservative states out there. You know that most of the country is not reflected in places like New York and Los Angeles and some of these cities, Atlanta, that have become ultra-liberal. That's really not reflective of middle America, and Alabama is more reflective of it. Yet we have a supermajority of Republicans in Montgomery, and somehow, some way, this Republican, supposedly conservative supermajority fumbles conservative issue after conservative issue after conservative issue every year when they go into session. And this is no different. We're seeing evidence right now that supposedly conservative legislators elected by conservative voters end up in Montgomery doing things and making decisions that are not reflective of the people who elected them. Two issues have come up. One is a major issue. It's sweeping the country in conservative states, and that's full school choice. That means the parent can take a designated amount of money. The PRICE Act, which is proposed right now, I believe calls for $6,900 a year. And they can take that money, put it into an education savings account, and then they choose the best education environment for their children. That should be a parent's decision. Anybody that disagrees with that, I think they're just wrong-headed. Ultimately, as parents, we are responsible for our children. We should have the ability to make the best choices in their interest, whatever that choice may be, and to send those kids and our own kids wherever we think they can get the best education that reflects our values as a family. That's not going on in Alabama. We have very limited school choice through charter schools. We have a scholarship program that is designated for the lowest 6% of schools according to standardized testing in the state of Alabama. That means 94% of the schools are completely left out. There are some doors that you can maneuver your way through if your child is not in one of the lower 6% schools, but it's very difficult to do that. And it doesn't matter because there's only enough funding in this scholarship fund for a very, very small majority of students in Alabama. So most students are trapped wherever they are zoned unless their parents are in a position to sacrifice and send them to a private school or homeschool them, take an alternate route. The full school choice bill would make that available to every child in Alabama. Again, this is passing in conservative states all around us. I believe 7 states have passed full school choice this year alone, or it's very close to passing in 7 states. In Alabama, the school choice bill went before the Education Policy Committee, and you just heard Paul DeMarco tell you that the chairman of those committees have unquestioned power. After the hearing on the Price Act, after the hearing on school choice, committee chairman, Republican Senator Donnie Chastain, just unilaterally sends the bill to another committee. And that is, we're halfway through the session, y'all. So sending it to another committee usually is a classic stalling tactic in Montgomery. And this is not some shenanigan that's being pulled by the Democrats. They came out from the get-go and said, no, we want our kids trapped in their public schools. We're not supporting any school choice. This sleight of hand is coming from Republicans, Republican leadership. And the question for you as a voter, how long do you let the people you elect get away with not doing the things you sent them to Montgomery to do? It's not something that we can let go on forever. We're 4 years away, almost 4 years away from another statewide election for legislators. So we've got to live with this for at least 3 more years, 3.5. As I said, they're only halfway through the session. But at what point do we start holding Republican lawmakers accountable for not reflecting what Republican and conservative voters send them to Montgomery for? It shouldn't be going on, but it is, and it's going on at a pretty rampant rate. We found out this morning that a bill presented by Senator Dan Roberts, and Senator Roberts' district reaches a little bit into Trustful. He is mostly the Mountain Brook area, reaches a little bit into Trustful. He presented a bill, a lot of you have heard about this, saying that investments by state agencies cannot be done with companies that are adhering to the ESG principles, which is the woke scorecard, to make sure that companies are aligning with ESG in terms of woke policies. And that is not reflective of Alabamians. That's not what we support. And he had a bill saying that could not be a decision. Any companies that were involved in ESG would not get investments from Alabama agencies. Well, we find out today through 1819 News that the Business Council of Alabama, these are your Alabama powers, all the big corporate people in the state of Alabama. That's their organization. They didn't like that bill. They want to invest money wherever they want to invest it. And if they have to play the ESG game, then they're more than willing to play it. But they don't want to worry about what conservatives in Alabama want, what they want. They just want to be able to put their money wherever they can, ignoring the best return for stockholders, and just playing this woke game, which is wearing thin on everybody. BCA objected, and suddenly the bill is pulled from committee. Now, we've got reason to believe that Senator Roberts had nothing to do with pulling his own bill. And according to Paul DeMarco, the one person that would have had the power to do that was the committee chair, and the fact that the Republicans have a supermajority means that committee chair is going to be a Republican. So how long, listeners, do we tolerate elected leaders elected by conservative voters who do not represent those conservative voters when they get to Montgomery? We're going to find out a little bit more about that in a little while. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. And Stephanie will update us. She's actually testifying at this moment before one of these committees involving the Price Act. She's in front of the House Education Policy Committee. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back for a few minutes, and then Stephanie will join us at the bottom of the hour. You stay with us. This is Right Side Radio, and I'm Scott Buttram. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trussell Tribune, sitting in for Phil Williams. Phil's on the road, taking care of some other business. Always happy to have an opportunity to step in and speak to this audience. Anybody that's on the right side is on the right side of me. I like you guys. I like what you stand for. I like what Phil stands for. So real honor to sit in. We've been talking to a couple of different people. We talked to Kara Snyder in our first segment, and Kara's you can look her up at karasnyder.com. She is a Christian author out of Cullman, Alabama, that's written a number of really great devotional books, especially dealing with anxiety and mental health with children and with adults. So take a look at her books if you get a chance. We have heard from Paul DeMarco. Paul is a former state senator. He is currently the chairman of the Republican Party of Jefferson County. Paul called us. I think he was leaving Montgomery when he called us, actually. He's been down there talking to legislators during the session, pushing for conservative agendas and conservative laws that will support the beliefs and the principles of Alabama voters, conservative Alabama voters, which is one of the largest groups in the country. So we appreciate Paul, and he gave us a lot of time, a lot of information on what he has seen going on in Montgomery. There have been some good things that the legislature has done. I pick on them a lot, but let's give them credit where credit's due. Passing the fentanyl bill, that where we've raised the penalties. If you are caught with fentanyl in the state of Alabama, you are going to pay, and pay dearly. And I completely support that. I will tell you, in the interest of full disclosure, I lost my baby brother to an opioid addiction. And he was only 3 years older than my son. So you can imagine the dynamic that we had. And it was devastating to see him go through that, something that he just couldn't control. And this stuff is infiltrating our state at a scary, scary level. That is coming across the southern border. The product is being supplied by China through Mexico and into the United States and into our homes. And it is affecting and hurting families all over this country. And that bill was brought by Chris Elliott. Apologize if I'm giving the wrong person credit or not giving the right person credit, but I believe it was brought by Elliott, and it was an outstanding bill, and it did pass very quickly. We're excited to see that. Another bill that is under consideration right now, and this bill is being touted by Attorney General Steve Marshall. He is pushing hard for this. And it is a bill that will allow the state to prosecute some of these young people under gang laws, where they can use this and tie them to gang activity that they're involved in. It is being fought by the Democrats, which is mind-boggling, because where this violence, where these murders are taking place, most likely in Alabama, where these incidents are taking place, are all Democrat-controlled areas of the state. And guess who's fighting the bill to prosecute these people? I don't know how closely you guys have followed the mass shooting in Dadeville. I imagine, like most of the states, you've kept an eye on that and you followed that story and understand that there have been either seven arrests at this point. And every one of the suspects are 20 years old or younger, ranging all the way down to 15 years old. Quite often we see this in the city of Birmingham, which has one of the highest homicide rates in the entire country. Just a few years ago, the city of Birmingham had the third highest homicide rate of cities with a population above 200,000. Third highest in the United States of America. So, and we know the mayor of Birmingham less than 6 months ago publicly stated that a lot of this is tied to gang violence, and stronger laws that would allow prosecutors to use the association that ties these people together through their gangs. Stronger laws would get some of these people off the street and keep them off the street. So that is a bill that is under consideration. Again, it is being supported heavily by Attorney General Steve Marshall. And we are dealing with the Democrats standing in the way, trying to block it. They're not interested. They don't support it. And they'll go home and cry for more gun regulations, more gun laws, stiffen the penalties on people who own guns, take them away from them, while fighting against a bill that would actually affect the violence in their community and help curtail it. In the meantime, they're just going to preach their woke agenda and blame it on guns when we all know it's the people using those guns that are committing the violence. In the same respect, we've got a school choice bill that is being shafted, shifted, and jerked all over Montgomery by Republicans. That's a conservative bill being passed by conservative states across America. In Montgomery, we've got a handful of Republicans who claim to be conservative, yet continuously fight against conservative ideals and conservative principles. So we've got to be realistic about this, folks. When we elect people to go to Montgomery as conservative voters, we can't stop there. We have to hold them accountable. When we see them pulling these shenanigans, whether it's through committees or through their voting record, and they do it a lot of different ways with the school choice bill on the Senate side, they've sent it to a second committee to try to stall it out. That was done by a Republican committee chair, Senator Donnie Chastain, pulled that stunt. We had another bill that was pulled this morning from Senator Roberts that would have stopped agencies in Alabama for investing where ESG funds are concerned. Another conservative vote. Hey, you stay with us. We are going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we will be joined by Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie is in Montgomery, and she will update us on what she knows as she's leaving Montgomery. Stay with us. You're right. You're back with Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams. Hey, let's get right to our next guest. One of my favorite people in the world is joining us now, Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I hope I sound okay because I am literally driving down the road. Burning up 65 right now.
You sound great, and that won't last long because you'll hit the parking lot any minute now. That is I-65.
So, oh, my goodness.
You know it's
coming. I've just left the State House, so this is breaking news right here.
Well, that's what we want. You testified today, did you not?
I did, just about 30 minutes ago. The Education Policy Committee in the House held a public hearing for the PRICE Act, which is the school choice piece of legislation that you and I have been talking about for a while.
Yeah, and we've been talking about it all afternoon. We've been talking about it all afternoon to our audience.
I've been sitting in that committee hearing, so I haven't gotten to listen.
Well, we've promised them that you were there, and we've already talked to Paul DeMarco as he left Montgomery, so we were anxious to hear what you had to say. And we've talked about the shenanigans pulled with the Senate Education Policy Committee.
Right.
So
that's
we
right.
were
I talked
very
to Larry
anxious
Stutz about that this morning.
Good.
Yeah. So we had the committee meeting this afternoon at 1:30, and
right.
there were two bills ahead of the public hearing. One that had not had a public hearing called, but had a lot of discussion, and it was actually, you'd be interested in it. It was actually about alternative teacher certification. And that was an interesting bill. And then also Terry Collins is carrying a bill about the expansion of charter schools. And so those two bills were ahead of the PRICE Act on the list. And okay. then we had a public hearing on the PRICE Act and just got finished. So. But the committee had ran out of time, gave no questions or comments to the public hearing information, and the bill will be back up on the calendar next Wednesday for discussion and, Lord willing, a vote.
So it's been stalled for at least a week.
At least another week, yes,
okay.
in the House.
Okay.
Now, the Senate, when the situation that happened last week was a surprise to the sponsor, an unwelcome surprise
right.
To Larry Stutz, as you know, and that's being worked on and worked out. Unfortunately, it looks like the PRICE Act is treading water, in all directions.
I gotcha. And I will say on the Senate Education Policy Committee, mm-hmm. you not only had the bill sponsor in Senator Stutz, you had the bill co-sponsor in Senator Shelnut, both sitting on that
right.
committee, both blindsided by the move of the chairman.
Right.
When he sent that bill to another committee.
I think that the real frustration there, too, was that he asked for it to be in the other committee,
right.
was told, no, we're going to run it through policy.
Right.
And then he still got yanked around.
Yeah,
so
it looks suspicious.
That was even more frustrating.
It looks suspiciously like a setup, Stephanie. I don't see how we can take it any other way. One of the things that I just asked Paul DeMarco, and I don't know if you're mm-hmm. aware of this, but we're hearing that the investment bill regarding ESG funds
yes.
and policies and principles that was sponsored by Dan Roberts was supposed
right.
to be in a hearing today. And at the last minute, the bill was pulled. And so I asked Paul DeMarco, who is a former state senator? I said, other than the bill sponsor, because I'm being told that Senator Roberts had nothing to do with pulling his own bill. And
that
I just said,
okay.
who else has that authority? And he said, the committee chair. The committee chair
mm-hmm.
can do it.
Right.
Stephanie, we're seeing this too often, and we're seeing it in every session, every year, where voters mm-hmm. are sending what they believe to be conservative representatives. The voters have built a supermajority of conservatism in Montgomery. Yet these elected leaders, not all of them, but a fair number of them, are shafting, shifting, and undercutting conservative issues session after session after session. What do we
yeah,
do?
Yeah, and it's interesting, having been up and down the State House hall, kind of, I've been a staffer, I've been a corporate lobbyist, I've been, a random mom from Birmingham that is interested, and now had my own business and then now running API. I've got about 20, 25 years of experience in those hallways. And I will tell you this, that there is really a sentiment there right now that I've never experienced before
right.
in those 20 or 25 years, which is it's a very top-down, very controlled, I would say maybe even use the term sequestered.
Right.
That there are powers that be that are deciding what is allowed to be discussed, what is allowed to be asked, and what is allowed to be debated. And the frustrating thing about that is that, you know, every senator down there was voted on by the same number of people, whether or not they serve in leadership or not.
Right.
And every House member is the same way. And so frustrating thing, process-wise, is this idea that you really just don't know what the process is going to be.
Right.
And as you indicated, it keeps shifting depending on the subject matter. It's just that the subject matter tends to be the things that the leadership might have some questions on, or on the other side of that equation, just don't want to debate.
Right.
And so, run-of-the-mill voters and run-of-the-mill House members and senators are getting run over, and it's a frustrating thing to watch. You know, we all grew up on the Schoolhouse Rock, and the Schoolhouse yeah. Rock is not rocking right now. and on Goat Hill,
right.
it's convoluted. It's hard to tell. It's hard to manage. Just to be honest. To know exactly where something's going to crop up or if something's going to get pulled. I did have the opportunity to talk to some senators about that ESG bill this morning. I went down early for some budget hearings, and I spoke to a few folks about that bill because API, supports
right.
Clamping down on that situation and paying attention to the fiduciary responsibility, especially of financial institutions, as it regards to ESG, but also other businesses and protecting our homegrown businesses and timber and our
right.
homegrown businesses in the state of Alabama. And so I talked to a few folks this morning. Yes, that was a surprise. There was a lot of discussion, I believe, in caucus about that, but then it was a surprise that got pulled, and the discussion was basically, the rug was pulled out from under Dan Roberts on that. That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And also really frustrating.
Very frustrating. You mentioned the atmosphere and the feeling in the uh-huh. halls of the State House. I was 50 years old before our legislature was not controlled by the Democrats. And
right.
as the session or two leading into the Republican takeover, this same mm-hmm. dynamic that you're talking about existed inside
right.
the Democrat Party. They were splintering. They were going into separate camps. And then there was that group in leadership that almost locked out other legislators. They
right.
were going to control everything. They were in love with the power. They were in love with the institution of power, but they were not representing the people who elected them. In that case, we saw the Republicans sweep in and take the majority.
I
don't see the Democrats sweeping back in and taking majority, but I do see a similar splitting within the Republican Party, where some are there trying to represent the conservative principles that they ran on, and others mm-hmm. are just in love with the power and in love with the fact that BCA calls them to do their bidding. I don't know how we break this cycle, but for the good of the people of Alabama, we've got to figure out a way to break it.
Yeah, it's interesting being at API and having kind of a network connection of other think tanks and other family policy council groups in other states.
Yeah.
This is something that a lot of red states are experiencing right now. And it's caused the rise of the state network of freedom caucuses. And that's one of the things that I know, some people have been in discussion about in Alabama, and it may take that or something similar to that in order, to shake things up. The frustrating thing for me specifically, just honestly, is we've got, 72-73% of Alabama voters
right.
vote straight party Republican,
right.
and they think that they've done their job
yeah.
By doing that. And for the most part, voters have done their job by doing that, you know, or so they believe.
Right.
But I actually would argue for a little bit more balance. I would argue that with a little bit more balance legislatively and discussion-wise between Democrats and Republicans, we end up with a better product than when we have a supermajority mm-hmm. that is basically ignoring their base.
Well, that's a very valid point, and that's what I believe we will see if the Republican Party continues to splinter and take separate sides on key issues. One side or the other is going to start trying to figure out a way to go after Democrat legislators and pull them to their side.
Right, that's right. And it's been interesting this session, too, with the occupational tax cut and the grocery tax cut and some other things,
right.
You know, subject matter wise, but especially financially, it's been surprising and honestly pleasantly surprising to me to be able to work hand in hand with Democrats, especially in the House,
mm-hmm.
on those financial issues, because in a couple of cases, they're actually leading the charge. Anthony Daniels
right.
absolutely led the charge
right.
on cutting the tax for overtime.
Well,
and it's great to be able to work together with Democrats, but it's also kind of just creates a strange dynamic when you have Democrats wanting to cut taxes and Republicans wanting to hold on to them.
Stalling on it when that is supposed to be a conservative principle from the get-go. It's
that's right.
Mind-boggling. I actually think there may be an opportunity on school choice. But one mm-hmm. of the things I think, Stephanie, and you and I have talked about this, I know you are a huge proponent of school choice. It would help some of the Democrat-controlled areas of the state as much or more than any other area of the state. So it's boggling my mind that we can't get some Democrats to cross over, and I think we probably can. But we've also that conversation has got to change a little bit. This is not just about getting kids out of underperforming schools. This is about the indoctrination that we know is taking place
yeah.
in public schools, in some very nice neighborhoods and in some very tough mm-hmm. neighborhoods across the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the lack of academic performance, but it's also about
right.
what our kids are being taught in school. And there are quite understandably a lot of parents that do not want their children subjected to that.
That's right, especially in the younger years.
Right.
I hear a lot from elementary school age parents who are just absolutely floored about some of the things that their children are coming home with and just kind of the perspective that their kids are coming home with as far as gender fluidity and some race issues and just things that honestly they weren't equipped or expecting to have that level of conversation with, you know, kindergarten, first, second graders.
Right.
You know, the legislature attempted to address that. The State Board of Education has attempted to address some of those things. But the truth is, It's just still happening, and that's created a new constituency
yes.
of parents, of frustrated parents who really just want the opt-out, and they want to be able to use a small portion of the money that they send, you know, through their taxes,
right.
Through their income taxes, and they want to be able to use a portion of that money to do something else. There's also, you know, a need for special needs kids
yep.
and even kids who are being bullied or just in a really difficult social
right.
setting or social
right.
situation to kind of press the pause button or just take a break and take a mental health break from the public school system that they're zoned for. And there's a lot of value to that when
yes.
you look at it from an individual standpoint instead of a system standpoint, that parents would have the agency to make that decision of what's best for their child, regardless of the why. It could be academic. It could be social. It could be the indoctrination. It could be worldview. It could be any of those things. But the whole point of school choice is to put that agency back into the hands of the parents who know
right.
the children the best instead of demanding that they acquiesce to the system.
Right. And ironically, one of the best examples of that is probably the Acceptance Academy in Birmingham.
Sure.
Which,
absolutely.
You know, they really work with kids who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, things of that nature, that are struggling and having a hard time in a traditional public school. Not a school that I would choose for my child, but you know what? If a kid feels safer there, is performing academically, and it's a better environment, I fault no parent that wants their child to be in that environment.
Yeah, no, I don't either. It's one of those things. We were on a panel together, and I've said this phrase now several times since then, which is, you know, when asked about that, freedom is hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
freedom is
hard. You might choose something different from your family than I would choose for my family, but that's what America is all about.
That's right.
Which is allowing us to make our own decisions, not forcing kids into bad situations, not tying parents' hands
Stephanie,
so that they can't make the right decisions for their kids.
Stephanie, we're headed into a break. Can I get you to hold over for a little short segment after the break?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much. Hang on. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back with Stephanie Smith from API. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams. We've only got a short time, so before I turn it back over to Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute, Stephanie, I've already made up my mind. The next time Phil asks me to do this, you're coming with me and you're co-hosting the entire show.
Oh, that'd be really fun.
The two of us are going to pull that together. Okay, we've only got about a minute.
Boomer might be scared.
He's with Phil every day. I don't think anything scares him anymore. we've got about a minute. So I want to just allow you that minute to kind of wrap up your thoughts on where we are at this moment in the session and how you think this is going to end.
Yeah, we're on the tail end of the session, and I'll give credit where credit is due. There have been some good discussions. The Protecting Women in Sports bill is going to be on the floor of the Senate today and has been well received, and that's a win. And Susan Dubose has done a fantastic job with that. Some of these tax cut discussions have been very healthy. We've been trying to get a grocery tax cut for 25 years.
Yep.
Is it what I would have written? Absolutely not. Is it better than nothing? Absolutely.
Yep.
So we're making some progress. What we are not making progress on is an understanding, a fundamental understanding that taxpayer dollars are taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And that when there's a surplus, it needs to come back to the taxpayer.
There you go. There you go. And we're talking about the very foundation of conservative principles when we're talking about those things. Stephanie,
that's right.
We really appreciate the job you're doing at Alabama Policy Institute. I was telling Boomer during the last break, I only thought I was a conservative until I met you. And
somebody called me an ideologue today, and I think they meant it as an insult, but I smiled.
That's the wrong insult for you. You'll wear that like a badge of honor. But hey, Stephanie, let me say this. I'm glad you're on our side because you're one of the smartest people I've ever been around. You understand policy, and you know how to get things done, and you are going to be just a wonderful asset for the Alabama Policy Institute. You already are, and you're going to become a more valuable asset with every passing day. Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm serious. Next time I'm asked to do this show, I'm calling you and dragging you up here with me.
That would be really fun. Let's definitely do that.
Thanks, Stephanie. We'll be right back after this break with the Grand Council. Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor will join me at 4 o'clock. Stay with us. Come on back.